From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. With the ongoing tensions between the U.S. and North Korea reaching a peak as Vice President Pence visits Japan, North Korea's Deputy Permanent Representative to the United Nations, Kim In-ryong, gave a press conference in New York at UN headquarters Monday.
Today, I would like to clarify the viewpoint of my government. And regarding to a briefing to be organized by the UN Security Council, which is usurped by the United States, using its role as the president of the UN Security Council. It is well known that U.S. Ambassador to UN on April 3rd, during her remarks about the program of work of Security Council, in her capacity as the president of the UN Security Council for the month of April, has announced that Security Council would halt the briefing under the pretext of the non-proliferation of the DPRK upcoming the 28th this month. It will be presided over by the Secretary of State of the United States. First of all, I strongly censure and categorically reject the convening of a briefing of the DPRK nuclear issues as another abuse of the authority and the behavior of double standards and a violation of DPRK's sovereignty by UN Security Council acting under the instruction of the United States. As everybody knows, nowadays, the United States, without hesitation, perpetrated military attack and threatened at the sovereign state while claiming the peace by strength. The recent U.S. massive missile attack on Syria that tells you well of it. The United States is disturbing the global peace and the stability and insisting on the gangster-like logic that its invasion of the sovereign state is too decisive and just and proportionate and contribute to defending the international order in its bid to apply it to the Korean Peninsula as well. The United States introduced in South Korea the Korean Peninsula, the world's biggest hotspot, and the huge nuclear strategic asset, seriously threatening the peace and security of the peninsula and pushing the situation there to the brink of war. It has been created a dangerous situation in which the thermonuclear war may break out at any moment on the peninsula and pose a serious threat to the world peace and security, to say nothing of those of the Northeast Asia. As the international community witnessed every year, the situation on the Korean Peninsula is often engulfed in a state that goes out of control, whose root cause squarely lies in the United States, which does not abandon its hostile policy towards DPRK, but hold aggressive war exercises after another in and around the Korean Peninsula. The U.S.-South Korea joint military exercise currently staged at this moment, it's not only our largest aggressive the war drills, which introduced various nuclear strategic asset and murderous operation weapon, such as nuclear carrier task and nuclear strategic bombers and stealth fighters. But it is a real warfare, the military exercise, the focus on the precision strike on the major strategic point, including our supreme headquarters and a nuclear rocket site, unveiling its pretense of the exercise of annual and the defensive. It is crystal clear to everybody the United States, hell-bent on the dangerous cyber rattling in South Korea, little short of a nuclear arsenal, is arch-criminal harassing the peace and stability on the Korean Peninsula and the rest of Northeast Asia. Article 1st of the UN Charter. The refers the bring about by peaceful means in conformity with the principle of justice and international law and the adjustment and the settlement of the international dispute or the situation which might lead to a breach of the peace. However, in dealing with issue of Korean Peninsula, the United States, United Nations, the Security Council, is now playing the role of covering up the high-handedness, arbitrariness of the United States in the name of the UN, ignorance of justice and international law. The government of the DPRK, in accordance with Article 34-35 of the UN Charter, made the request of the UN Security Council on the several occasions for an emergency meeting on the international peace and security being threatened by the large-scale military exercise of the U.S. on the Korean Peninsula. This year alone, we made such a request to the UN Security Council in March, followed by two times in the previous years. Nevertheless, while disregarding the persistently our just request to handle the issues of those dangerous military exercises, which is root cause for aggravating tension in the Korean Peninsula. On the contrary, this UN Security Council is planning to convene such a briefing on the nuclear issue of the DPRK. It is nothing but obviously the behavior of the double standards and injustice totally played to the tune of the United States. So far, the UN Security Council takes issues with righteous self-defensive measures taken by the DPRK to safeguard the sovereignty and the dignity and the national security by adopting the illegal sanctions resolutions, acting by the double dealing standard unilaterally set by the United States in its interest. The UN Security Council brand the legitimate exercise of sovereignty by the independent country as illegal, as it measures for self-defense provocations. But some countries are allowed to conduct such a test far unhindered. This is the reality of the UN arena at the present. And recently, the South Korean authority is now claiming they could strike the whole of the North and that they would deploy the ballistic missile, the Hyunmoo II, with a firing range of 800 kilometers for an actual battles within this year. But the United States and the Security Council kept mum about it, as we expected. The international community is taking note of the fact the U.S. and the UN Security Council have kept mum about those testifier while cooking up the brigandish sanction resolutions of the nuclear rocket testifier by the army of the DPRK and its exercise of a right to launch a satellite for peaceful purposes justified by international law after leveling down provocation and threat. The United States connive at wherever is launched by its allies, whether it is a missile or spy satellite, but it is slaying the mud at those launched by independent countries that claim it can fire a missile at those countries. This biased act, little short of the application of the double standards, can never be tolerated. It is very clear the briefing which is planned by the United States in a connivance of the UN Security Council is in its purpose of impurity. It is nothing but to justify the entire DPRK, the aggressive war clamor, and a too inspiring environment for sanction against the DPRK by taking issues over the self-defense nuclear deterrence of the DPRK to defend its national security and peace against endless U.S. aggressors and their provocative threat at all cost. following the state's measures for bolstering up its military capability to defend its independence and territorial integrity, can never be subject to the criticism and interference by the world body under any circumstances. However, the United States has unhesitatingly used its double-dealing standard against those countries aspiring up to independence against imperialism, with differing ideas and a social system, utterly disregarding the mission and role of international law and international organization in pursuance of world hegemony. Owing to the U.S. reckless move for bolstering up its nuclear force and modernizing them, instability and the danger of nuclear war are now escalating on Earth, and the nuclear weapon states are improving their strategic nuclear forces both in quality and quantity to cope with them. It is inevitable and entirely just for the DPRK to have had access to the nuclear deterrent for self-defense and bolstered up it, as it is always exposed to the direct nuclear threat of the United States. At a time when even those countries having vast territories and a big population and a huge economic potential are giving top priority to the measures for reinforcing their forces for state development and security. The road we've chosen for strengthening self-defense deterrent is the road for our existence and for safeguarding our future. The DPRK measures for bolstering up nuclear force are self-defense one to cope with the United States' vicious nuclear threat and blackmail. They reflect the determination of the army and the people of DPRK to counter NOC and ICBM in kind. The DPRK has never recognized the unreasonable resolution adopted by the UN Security Council against it, with the U.S. double-dealing the standards. The fact the United States dispatch of the Carl Vinson, the nuclear carrier task group, to the water off the peninsula, the Korean peninsula, again, they clearly prove that United States' a reckless move before invading the DPRK have reached the serious pace of it, the scenario. If the United States dared opt for the military actions, the crying out for preemptive attack and the removal of the headquarters, the DPRK is ready to react to any mode of war desired by the American. The prevailing grave situation proved once again DPRK was entirely just when it increased in every way its military capability for self-defense and a preemptive attack with a nuclear force at its pivot. The Trump administration is trying to do something of the DPRK by deploying one strategic strike means after another in South Korea, trumpeting about the peace by strength, but the DPRK remain unfazed, undaunted. We never beg for the feast, and we will take the toughest counteraction against the provocateur in order to defend ourselves by powerful force of arms and keep the road chosen by ourselves. We will hold the United States wholly accountable for the catastrophic consequences to be tailed by its outrageous actions. As long as U.S. and our vessel forces, the schemes to bring down the socialist system in the DPRK, it will further increase in the military muscle and protect the peace and security of the country by its own efforts and invariably pursue its line in the future too. In conclusion, I hope the distinguished journalist at the present here of the pay due attention to the nuclear issue on Korean Peninsula with a correct understanding and the views on its origination and the root cause for aggravating tension on the Korean Peninsula. Thank you.
from Kyoto News. I just had a quick logistical question and then a deeper question, if I may. The first one is you're rejecting the April 28th meeting. Do you have any intentions of doing anything else on that day at the UN? And then secondly, given the tension on the Korean Peninsula and the U.S. Vice President saying the era of strategic patience is over, and in your remarks, you're suggesting that the U.S. is willing, I'm sorry, North Korea is willing to take the toughest counteractions against any provocations, ready to react to any mode of war desired by the U.S. What sort of counteractions are you willing to take? And do you intend to conduct a sixth test or an ICBM launch in the next time period? It's a very tense period, and I think we all have that question for you. Thank you.
Yes, please.
Sure. Thanks a lot. Matthew Lee, InterCity Press, on behalf of the Free UN Coalition for Access, thanks for the briefing. I wanted to know first, last time you were here was in March, and you spoke about this request to the Secretary General for an international forum of legal experts on this issue. And I wanted to know whether in the more than month since you've received any response. I've asked the spokesman. They won't even confirm receipt of the letter. Could you say more about your request? And also, just if you're willing to, I noticed that the U.S. Vice President Mike Pence went to the DMZ. It was described as he visited a, quote, UN command center or UN base there. Do you have any comment on the recent visit of the Vice President? Thanks.
Yes. Thank you. Edith Lederer from the Associated Press. Two questions. I'd like to read you the key quote from Vice President Mike Pence and ask your response to his entire quote. "The era of strategic patience is over. President Trump has made it clear that the patience of the United States and our allies in this region has run out, and we want to see change. We want to see North Korea abandon its reckless path of the development of nuclear weapons and also its continual use and testing of ballistic missiles is unacceptable." And he also reiterated that all options are on the table. When you said that... The DPRK is ready to react to any kind of provocation. Does the DPRK consider its missile testing, or doesn't it view its missile testing and nuclear weapons tests as a provocation to South Korea and the United States and the rest of many other countries in the world?
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Margaret Bashir, VOA. There was several news reports today that North Korea did not respond to requests from China, from the foreign minister, and from Mr. Wu Dewi, the Chinese special envoy for the North Korea issue, about having meetings, that the Chinese were asking you to meet. Can you confirm that? Can you tell us what the status of your relationship is with Beijing at the moment?
Yes, sir.
Francesco Semprini from La Stampa. Thank you. First, some British sources say today that the latest ballistic test yesterday made by North Korea failed because the U.S. in some way hijacked it. I want to know what's your comment about, please. Thank you.
Yes, sir, please.
Thank you. Richard Roth, CNN. I'll keep it simpler. President Trump today was asked about a message for North Korea, DPRK, your country. He said, gotta behave. What is your message for President Trump today? Thank you.
Can you please respond to what China has been, the actions that China has been taking lately, including turning back some coal ships back to North Korea in recent days? What is your message to the Chinese government about that?
Okay, my ambassador will answer the questions.
Okay, Thank you. I will reply to the questions, but I just find, you know, some dissimilarity and a common sense in your the question there together. That is why I will give you, you know, the answer to you in, you know, in a package. Trump administration's the policy of DPRK. This is that find it is very common, you know, question, you know. Well, the DPRK policy, the shaped by the Trump administration, is first to put high intensity sanctions and the pressure together with someone, and a second, to consistently keep tactical nuclear weapons deployed in South Korea, and the third, to launch the independent military action aimed at beheading the operation against the leadership of the DPRK and preemptive the strike. In actuality, the Trump administration, which made a surprise cruise-guided missile strike at Syria on April 6th, has entered the path of the open threat and blackmailed against the DPRK, describing it as a strong warning message to it. As we already re-clarified its principled stance or the brigandish, the provocative moves of the United States in the political and economic and the military field pursuant to its hostile policy towards the DPRK will be thoroughly befoiled through the toughest counteraction of the army and the people of the DPRK. Under the prevailing grave situations, the U.S. has to come to its sense and make a proper option for the solution of the problems. The army and the people of DPRK will, as ever, cautiously counter to those who encroach upon the dignity and the sovereignty of the DPRK and will always mercilessly foil all the provocative of the options of the United States with the Korean-style toughest the counteractions. Well, as far as, you know, the convening of the briefing, which was organized by the UN Security Council, the 28th, the coming, the meeting, we have already categorically rejected the program itself. This is as an abuse. Of the Security Council, the mandate. As I had already mentioned before, the object of these meetings is a clear and impurity. And then yeah, one of the journalists raised a question there about the failure of the test fraud from, you know, the PRK that they had launched, you know, day before. Yeah, but I would like, you know, to mention that our missile test fraud is part of the normal course which has to go through in implementing the line of a simultaneous development of the two front. Particularly, it is part of the normal process to building up its self-defense capability in quality and quantity in order to defend their right to existence and safeguard the peace and the security on the Korean Peninsula. As far as you know, the another nuclear test is concerned, it was already known to the public. It is something that our headquarters decided at the time and at the place where our headquarters are deemed necessary, it will take place. Well, as far as you know, we proposed to the UN Secretariat to holding, you know, the legal export meeting, therefore clarifying the legality of the UN Security Council. But so far, we didn't any the response from the UN Security Council. I'm sorry. Yeah, as far as you know, the several the journalists the questions. The Chinese, you know, the approach to the, you know, the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. I will take this opportunity to mention. So, the Chinese proposal, the dual track parallel approach that include, you know, denuclearization and placing armistice agreement with the peace agreement. This is the first and the freeze. Looking back the history of the DPR, the U.S. relations, rolling back of the hostile policy towards the DPRK is the precondition to solving all the problems in Korean Peninsula. For this, it is the pressing issue to establish a legal institutional mechanism. In other words, concluding the peace agreement between the DPRK and the United States to terminate the state of war and hostility under the circumstances that no trust exists like today. These two issues would restrict the progress each other or rather than accelerate it. Since our nuclear positions is the product of the United States hostile policy towards DPRK, it is not issue to be taken on the negotiation table. The formula is not new, and it is the one that has failed in the process of negotiation in the past. And therefore, we oppose the discussion mixed with the two issues. As far as, you know, the Chinese proposal, they're halting to the joint military exercise for the freeze on the nuclear and ballistic missile of the DPRK as well. Also, for this proposal, the United States refused for the Chinese the proposal on the same day as soon as China set forth. In 2015, DPRK made the proposal the crucial steps to the United States to remove the danger of war, ease tension, and create a peaceful environment in the peninsula. However, the United States rejected. Recently, the U.S. and South Korea are making excuse that the joint military drills, the annual and the defensive, which have been conducting for 40 years long. 40 years ago, we do not have the nuclear weapons. The allegation goes to prove how long they have been clinging to the hostile policy towards DPRK and are continuing the tense situation in the Korean Peninsula. Thank you.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.